Hey Draco, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. We can. Welcome to the show, yo. Welcome to the Colossal Show. We're so excited to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yo. I mean, you know, we got the list of some DC rappers that we should reach out to from Pat Brady. I'm sure you know him, another Crank Music aficionado out of DC. And he gave us your name and reached out to you, and you got back to us. And, you know, we've been listening to your music ever since you got back to us. And let me tell you, we are huge fans.
Past my guy, like, we haven't even met yet. It's crazy though. Like, we've been following each other for a minute. And his music, like, I'm a fan of him. He's a fan of mine. So hopefully one day we get to link. So that's what's up, that he put me on to you guys.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, you're both great. Great Crank Music artists, you know. I mean, you both do your thing well. To that point, you know, I sort of want to get the definition of your sound or the definition of your music. You know, I saw in an interview that you did with University Union, I think, that you described trap music as a mix of both. What was it like? It was struggle and fun, right? It was a mix of both fun and struggle. But I wanted to know, like, if that's still the definition that you have, or if that's sort of evolved over time, or yeah, you know, what's the definition of your sound?
It's still the same fun and struggle. I guess with trap, it's like, it depends on how you're looking at it. And even in the definition, if you're actually trapping, some days you're going to struggle. Mm-hmm. And some days you have like time of your life and shit is crazy. It's definitely still the same. Definitely still with the quarantine, the new music I've been writing is definitely different. It still has that trap vibe as far as pain and struggle. I guess I kind of use those two terms just for, maybe a lot of people don't understand the struggle, you know, and sometimes you don't want to hear it.
Do you feel that your music is a good outlet to sort of release that struggle, or like release that pain that's inside of you?
Yeah, definitely. I make sure, like, on all my tapes, I have like two sides, I guess, you know. Sometimes it's just fun, you know, just general music. And then sometimes I'll put some personal songs on the tape. And hopefully, you know, people are feeling the same way I feel, they kind of relate.
Yeah, I think, you know, delving right into the music, where we really feel that, what you're talking about, between the fun and struggle, is on 3 a.m. on New Street with the transition, the two sides of that track.
Right.
Obviously, that was a big song for you. That was a single before your EP. Can you talk to us a little bit about the songwriting process, the story behind that song and everything?
So shout out to Sam. He's my manager. One half of Red and Dread, who he did the beat. So we were chilling in the studio and he played me the first half, and that was just gonna be the original beat, the first half. And then he was like, wait, I have a second half. So he played me the second, you know, side of 3 a.m. on U Street. He was like, so which one? And I was just simply like, I couldn't really choose. I was like, I love them both. So I was like, put them together. And he was like, put them together. Like, and I'm like, yeah, put them together. I definitely like songs like that, that has like a little, it goes into a second beat. It might be, you know, it's a few artists that actually do that. So I wrote the first half first in the studio, and it was so hard because they're two different vibes that I couldn't write the second half then, you know, because it's like the first one is just, you know, talking about stories, kind of laid back, going into the song. And then the second half is like anger, it's like, you know, frustration. So it took me actually a while to write that song just for the second half. Even recording it, it was kind of like, I'm kind of like yelling on the second half, you know? First one is very like just vibes, I'm chilling, like the words just come out easy. And then the second half, you know, just going straight in, like as soon as it jumps off. It's just conceptualizing that song, what I would want it to go through. And it was kind of like a night and day. And I hope the song came off as that 3 a.m. on U Street, what that would turn into.
It's such an awesome track. And the emotion is, it feels really raw, especially in that second half, as you were talking about. And I think that's something, when we were listening to your music, through your discography, the emotion is always so tangible in your music. And do you feel on this last EP that you also gave it an extra dimension with the sound that you managed to get? The hooks are really tight, the production's really good. Are you starting to find a place in your music now that's really, you feel really comfortable with?
Definitely. Shout out to Red and Dread again. They did the whole EP, but definitely I went through an array of emotions, you know, even dropping like here before then. And even to switch up from my usual like 3 a.m. on U Street to me was something different than my regular fans, you know, are used to hearing. You know, I was really just hoping that people would actually, I had enough people like on my side to be like, hey, let me listen to the whole song.
Have you found it hard to sort of manage that balance between sort of making what your fans want and then making sort of, I guess, the art that you want to make? Has that balance been hard, or have you found a way to sort of merge them together?
I think it's always going to be a hard balance. I think for any artist, even if you're like one of the top, you know, artists out there, it's kind of, you know, you become an artist for yourself, and then it kind of changes because what you're changing. The balance is getting better. The stronger my fan base becomes, I'm able to say, you know, throw something new out there. But a lot of times I am second guessing myself. They feel like, you know, they haven't heard this before. And even if it's something I made before, it's like, okay, will people like really mess with this, or do they just want that? And the balance I try to find is just making enough songs to accommodate everyone and myself at the same time. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll tell you right now, you've gained two solid fans for life. I mean, the two of us have listened for the past month and we haven't stopped since. So there's no question about that. We're here for whatever K Draco drops. Speaking of change and sort of speaking of, you know, evolving your sound, in a lot of the interviews that we've had, we've talked to the artists about how this past year, this sort of quarantine period has affected their music and has affected their mindset entirely. I'm curious with you, sort of, what is this past year been like for you in your creative process? And has it been obviously a bunch of bad shit has happened in this past year. There's no doubt in that. But like for K Draco, has this been a positive or I guess a negative break in a way?
Positive. I don't think it's been too negative. I mean, you know, a lot of things were disrupted. I dropped the tape right before the pandemic.
Yeah. So
the promotion I had planned, it was kind of like, you know, but you know, it's nothing I'm angry about. I guess that would be the negative. But throughout the whole year, I was kind of honing my craft a lot more. Definitely it's going to be some new sounds this year because I've still been recording. I can see like Pen Game is much, you know, stronger. And so I guess that was a great positive. There's a lot of positives and negatives. Of course it sucks. Can't do live shows. I mean, you gotta go down south, or there's no live show.
Yeah.
But I mean, Corona's everywhere, so it's like you give up that. You know? But that was one of the things I do miss, performing a lot. Certain vibes in the studio. A lot of people aren't having like a bunch of people in the studio.
Yeah.
Those are some positives and negatives.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about something. Can you tell us a little bit about Six Ring?
Six Ring. So that's my management team. Shout out to them. Sam, who did 3M on U Street and most of the tracks on Let and Love, he's one half of my management team. Mm-hmm. The other half is, he's going to kill me. But no, Dylan, and they're both two great guys. It's kind of funny how I caught up with them. I think Sam messaged me on Twitter about 2 years ago. Didn't answer if he tells it. I probably looked over it. Took time to develop the relationship. But with both of them, I do have, you know, just separate relationships. Sam's, he's the producer guy. He's just like telling me the brutal truth. It's definitely a love-hate relationship with him. But I wouldn't want that with anyone else in my team. It's just as far as, you know, not just being a yes man. You know, at all times, just saying, hey, I might think a song's like so amazing, I want to throw it out. He's like, nah. You know, and so it's a lot of yelling and screaming and back and forth with him. Dylan is a great guy as far as artistry, promotion, his connections, and even his love for music. So Six Ring, it's a growth process. They were new, developing, you know, coming up as a management team. And so working with me as a new artist then, it was kind of like we grew up together and we still have a lot of growing up to do.
Got you. How long have you been with them?
Since 2018.
Nice. Yeah, that's great that you have sort of I guess you're sort of both in the same position of you're both like trying to rise. And so you're both mutually trying to make each other better. I think that's a great situation to be in for you.
We had a segment actually on one of our latest videos talking about how in 2020 there were a lot of really great female rappers that came up, yeah. and 2021 could be really the year of the female rapper. And how does that make you feel? Do you feel opportunities opening up for yourself and others?
Yeah, I definitely do. It's definitely a lot different than when I first came on. It was less female rappers. And then it was a certain style of female rapper that you had to be, but now it's like an array of different female rappers, you know? Definitely what they talk about, you know, you got the conscious rap female rappers, and you have fun, goofy rap female rappers, and you have the overly sexualized, you know, I'm getting money, all, but it's different styles, you know, and different people are more accepting to the female rappers. So I think 2021 is definitely going to be a great year. It's not just Nicki Minaj and Cardi B, or just before that, it was just Nicki. Now it's so many other ones and people yeah. fans. And I think even for females and men, they're like, hey, they're not, I guess, ashamed or anything to say, hey, my favorite rapper is a female rapper.
So do you have any, big aspirations? You can take this wherever you want. It can be working with Pat Brady on a song, or it can be working with Kanye. But if you had to pick one artist who you'd want to work with on your next song, who would it be?
Biggest aspiration. I just want Kanye to like produce a tape for me. That's all I want. I don't even because he's like Christian Kanye. I don't want that. Yeah. But his I do want a beat. That's probably like my biggest aspiration. Definitely I want to hit number one Billboard. So that's another aspiration.
Yeah.
That's a big goal. Good one to have, though. I mean, set your goals high, and you know you'll reach them.
Definitely.
What are the goals or plans for this year? I mean, what can we expect out of K Draco in 2021?
Definitely soon. Next month, new visuals, a lot of new music. I think I'm gonna take away that focus with dropping full tapes, and just focus on dropping new visuals, singles, all more collaborations. So definitely I want to work with more artists. I want to work with female artists. I have never worked with a female artist.
Really? Wow.
I worked with my close friend, Day Day Down Back. I worked with her in my like beginning stages. But as far as like doing serious music, especially want to work with new female artists.
Just to address like some of your other music too, because you know this has been a great conversation. We like having you on here. K Draco, your self-titled project. What was the making of that like? You know, what was the meaning behind, I guess, naming it K Draco? You know, the names of the songs, like yeah, an idea of what that project means to you.
It was I was experimenting with everything. Even looking at the song list now, because on there you have like Draco Season. Which is kind of like typical me coming right off of 762, just kind of following the same DMV pattern of releasing music.
I love the organ piano combo at the beginning of that song. It introduced the whole album very well.
Yeah, it was definitely one of those hard hitting intros, Beethoven feeling. Like I said, this album's kind of all over the place. It kind of had like something for everyone. Like, because after you go into something deep as Draco Season goes right into Broad Day, and then you got Necessary and Lanes, and especially like Lanes, kind of like a lot of wordplay in Lanes. It's kind of like an actual, like not like a poppy song, but kind of the closest I'm gonna get to it.
can I read you my favorite bar from Lanes? Do you mind if I read you but Xanax bars put you on Mars just like you Bruno. Henny got me on Pluto. I'm on one just like it's Uno. Pockets on Sumo. Boss it like it's Hugo. Getting wasted in a two-door. How I know all the hoes you know. Are you kidding me, yo? Like, the wordplay is crazy.
Names was crazy. Yeah. I think even for this tape, like, it was around that time me and Six Ring started working together, and especially Sam. And he was coming to my sessions, and it's his beat, actually. And so it was kind of like, damn, you know, fucks with me, and then he wants me to get on his beat, and I was like, hope I crush it, like, he wants to crush it, but it was different for me, like, if you listen to 762, and then you go into this, you can kind of see, like, the beginning of my artistry, and it was a different kind of beat, I wasn't used to getting on the beat, so I was like, damn, you know, I hope he fucks with it once I did it, and it was kind of like the start of working on my pen game. Then you go to In The Way. In The Way was kind of more of a DMV type song. Like I said, it's kind of like me, you know, shuffling around and trying to accommodate everyone, making sure everyone had something to listen to it. So like Good Drop and In The Way kind of are the same DMV. And then going to One More, Sam made that One More also. And One More is kind of crazy because it's short and it's kind of like heavy hitting in a way, as far as coming with the bars on that one. And then it's a different type of beat. Definitely, he said that to me. He's like, oh, the beat's crazy. I'm like, this beat's trash. And I kind of just it was like a disgust writing it. And I was like, just throwing stuff together. And then, but this definitely was like experiment tape. And it was kind of like an introduction to me. That's why I subtitled it K-Draco.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's big credit to your versatility and your knowledge as an artist to be able to put, you know, you got 7 songs on this album, but yet you're still catering to every single person that you're trying to get to listen to you. Like, big credit to your artistic ability to know what songs to put on there.
Absolutely.
Which one of your projects are you, I guess, most proud of? Or, like, which one is your favorite, in a way?
I would say... Let and Love and 762. I would say 762 because it's like my first baby. It's like, you know, my completion, even though I kind of like threw shit together. it was like, wow, I completed it, you know? And it was like, it's kind of a mess. I had different songs. I was trying to just find myself like, as who is K-Draco? What exactly did I want to hear? So with the first one, and then Let It Love, I kind of had time to baby that EP in a way.
I love Let It Love, and I think I kind of assumed that what you were going to say, like the quality of the tape, like the individual quality of each track is super impressive, and it's a really nice, short and sweet listen. I think it's like a perfect EP. Like, I just had to put that out there. Like, I love that EP. It's so good.
Thank you.
You speak a lot on sort of, I guess, finding your sound and sort of how you are your worst critic, you know, how, you know, you might hear a beat one day, but then hear it the next and it's just not the same, or you write a verse one day and it's not the same the next. Do you think that you've found your sound? I mean, I know it's sort of, it's always an evolving process and you never really get to that exact spot, but Do you feel that like you've gotten that sound that you've been working for, you know, over these past 3-4 projects?
Definitely. I think I found a sound in the sense that I could not have a set sound that ever makes sense. Like, it's just, I guess I came to grips with my versatility, that I can change how I flow on various beats. Like, it could be a trap beat, it could be a laid back beat, just me understanding that, but also staying true on the signature things that I do. I definitely, because since the pandemic and these 3 tapes, found like a middle ground on my sound and kind of honed in. It's like, all right, if someone asks, what is K-Draco? Or, you know, they would know here. It's kind of like, oh, she's not just moving all over the place. She's gonna stay in a set thing.
Absolutely. All right, well, we'll end it off with one more question. Our favorite question that we love to ask all the people that we bring on here. Brings up a lot of good answers. What's been, you know, your career, it's been going, I mean, on Spotify at least since 2018, but I'm sure, you know, you've been making music for years now. Yeah. What's been your favorite moment throughout your entire musical career so far?
Let's see. My favorite moment would be at Syracuse. Shout out to Syracuse University. And it was a show, like a townhouse. And it's a packed, small-ass basement. It's sweaty. It's like, it might not have been 100 people, but to me, it felt like it was 100 people.
It felt like it, yeah.
Yeah, and the vibes down there, like, some people already had known the songs. Even the ones that didn't, they don't care. They were like, oh, we're dancing, we're fucking with it. I think that was, like, the craziest performance I've ever had. Just in there with them. And I was kind of like, in my head, I'm like, okay, hope no crazy shit happens, because I don't know how we're all going to go back up the basement steps, you know? It's like, and I'm like rapping and I'm looking at the steps and I'm like, okay, it's hot as shit in here. Everyone's looking at me. And I'm looking at them like, I'm looking at Sam and Dylan. Shout out to Austin. He's the other half of Red and Dread. I'm looking at them like, so y'all want me to go in this little ass basement? And just like hour long set. I was like, this is what she want me to do. And they're like, yeah, but just shout out to Syracuse and Vibes up there. It's great. I did a few performances that night. That was like a great experience.
All right, Kay. Well, it was absolutely lovely having you on the Colossal Show today. You're a lovely guest. We can't wait to see what you do this year in 2021. You've already done so much. We couldn't be more grateful for you coming on and for you making music.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And, absolutely.
Thank you.
For all the other times I could, you know, meet up with you guys on here. So I'm glad we finally knocked it out.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. All right. Well, wishing you the best. Thank Hope you. 21 treats you well.
Y'all do the same. Keep pushing, okay?
Appreciate it.
Thank you, yeah. We'll catch you.